Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I know that the American people are concerned about the possibility of an Ebola outbreak, and Ebola is a very serious disease. The ability of people who are infected to carry that across borders is something that we have to take extremely seriously. At the same time, it is important for Americans to know the facts. That is that because of the measures that we've put in place, as well as our world-class health system, and the nature of the Ebola virus itself, which is difficult to transmit, the chances of an Ebola outbreak in the United States is extremely low.
If you like your Ebola, you can keep your Ebola. Obamacare promises you that. Or if you like your mystery virus, you can keep your mystery virus courtesy of Mr. Obama. Now, I warned America about immigrants and epidemics 30 years ago. Nobody would publish the book. And now I'm on the radio in 250-some-odd markets. I've been on the air 20 years. And I'm warning America about the coming civil war. Welcome to the Savage Nation. On this historic day of October 7th, 2014, I say historic because you know it's the day I've launched my last big opus. I launched the book today, and I'm never writing another one again. So far as I can say right now, I will not do this again. I have increased the risk that I live under by magnitudes in publishing this book. You know it, and I know it. You know what they're doing to anyone who stands up to them. You know how they've crushed the press. You know how there's no longer a Republican Party. You know that the only opposition are a few people left in the media. Savage warns civil war, says Drudge on the top left. He links to the great WND article, 1 month left to save America. And then you jump to the article. And you ask yourself, is this guy making this up or what? Well, look at the next headline on Drudge. Ebola, Europe, outbreak unavoidable. You see, now it's the do-gooders bringing it into Europe. Isn't that interesting? The do-gooders, the missionaries, are bringing it back into Europe. Isn't that interesting? Here's something else for you to consider. I don't care whether you agree with me or not as to whether Obama is destroying our military, our schools, our civil society. It doesn't matter whether you agree with me on that for one reason. Microbes do not discriminate. They don't know if you're a good psychopathic liberal or not. They don't know if you're a diehard returning war veteran who gave his life for his legs for this country. Microbes do not discriminate. They're very democratic microbes. They don't know whether you're black or white, Asian or Hispanic. They don't know if you're gay or straight, transvestite, transsexual, EBDT. They don't know anything about that. All they see is a warm host to invade and multiply. And that brings us all together, doesn't it? Well, you'd say, well, since we're all together on wanting to prevent an Ebola outbreak in America, why did this genius in the White House, who apparently was born in the reeds in Lake Michigan and discovered floating in a papyrus basket, and then he was brought to us to save us. Yes, instead of parting the Red Sea, he has brought us some wonderful things from the Third World. Third World educational levels now permeating our schools. Third World diseases that were once eradicated, re-entering the United States. You know, if you look at Africa, and you have some nations that are ravaged by Ebola, such as Liberia, the neighboring African nations do not permit Liberians to enter their countries. Isn't it odd that African dictators, Third World dictators in Africa, have more common sense than Barack Hussein Obama? Can anyone argue with that? How is it that Third World African despots care more about their people than he does? Well, I guess you'd have to study Chicago politics to understand divide and conquer, to understand exactly how they're conquering us by dividing us. And that kicks off today's historic show on Stop the Coming Civil War. The Ebola Europe outbreak is unavoidable. It wouldn't have been unavoidable if they didn't bring patients back to Europe for treatment, but treated them in the countries. I didn't say don't treat them. I said take all the money you're spending and build the clinics over there. But don't send 5,000 American troops there, Mr. Obama. You don't have to hate Michael Savage to listen to him. You don't have to love Michael Savage to listen to him. Common sense dictates. You don't need to have a PhD in epidemiology to know what to do to avoid a viral outbreak in a nation where it doesn't exist. First rule, don't bring them into a country where it doesn't exist. If you do that, you violated every rules of sanity, hygiene, and common sense. Obama's done that. And what sickens me more than any part of this is not what Obama and his left-wing fanatics are doing, but what these useless idiots with MDs and MPHs are doing, which is saying nothing. A pox upon all of them. These fools at Harvard School of Public Health, the UC Berkeley School of Public Health, you name these schools, not one of these clowns who spends millions of dollars on useless research will dare come out and say what I've been saying for months, if not years, if not about Ebola specifically, but about immigrants and epidemics. It was only a matter of time until these third worlders brought us diseases for which we had no immunity and no treatment to speak of. And now we're living with it. Now we are living with the fruits of multiculturalism and open borders. And the only reason Obama and his masters of public health will not say anything about it is because it will upset the entire multicultural open borders agenda. Because then the dummies in America may just say, wait a minute, that's not working for us. Wait a minute, America's borders, language, and culture are under assault, and look what's happening. Yeah, they just might put two and two together and come up with four. And that's something that you can't have in a nation that's going to the dogs. And I shouldn't say the dogs because I love dogs. But here's something for you to think about as well on the Savage Nation, which is this. The leftists in this country, those who vote for Obama, say that America is a capitalist, greedy nation. And yet think about it, half of the population is subsidized. So half of our population is subsidized, and yet they've been told they're victims. They're told they're victims, and yet their representatives like Obama and Feinstein and Reid and Boxer run the government. Their representatives run the government, yet the poor keep getting poorer. Here's something else for you veterans to think about. Why is it that Obama is cutting benefits for our veterans? Why are there no pay raises for our military? Why has our army been cut to the lowest level in decades? Why has Obama killed weapon systems such as the Warthog, but he's not stopping the payments or benefits to illegal aliens? Just something to think about. One other thing to think about, we are advised to not judge all Muslims by the actions of a few lunatics, but we are encouraged to judge all gun owners by the actions of a few lunatics. Isn't that interesting? One other point that was sent to me, we constantly hear about how Social Security is going to run out of money, but we never hear about welfare or food stamps running out of money. What's interesting, someone says, is that the first group worked for their money, but the second didn't. Think about it, and think about what I mean when I say there is no longer a Democrat Party. It's now a Democrat Socialist Islamist Party. This is Michael Savage. We're going to talk about all these topics and more, including my best-selling book to be Stop the Coming Civil War. And I'd invite you to call with bookstore stories, because I had one today. I had a story already from my local Barnes & Noble. There was one copy on the table. I said, how could there be one copy on the table when it was just released today? They said, well, one woman came in and bought 10 copies. So he said, well, what about the books in the back of the store? She said, there are no books in the back of the store. If you have any bookstore stories to share with America, maybe you can help wake them up by calling this show right now at 855-400-7282. Again, would you kindly visit the top of the Drudge Report, Savage Warns Civil War. Would you read the article, for God's sakes, and send it out on your social media? I was awakened this morning by my producer, Neil, who's in his 20s, and he said, hey, what? Did you see? I said, just got up. He said, your story on Civil War is number three on Facebook. I said, I don't really go on Facebook. I have an account, but I never go on it. He said, you don't know how big that is. That's what all the young people are on. I said, let's see. Number one would be Oprah loses 4 pounds. Number two would be Kardashian gains 4 pounds. And number three would be Stop the Coming Civil War. I said, well, there's hope for America yet. And he laughed. He said, yeah, it means that they're listening, and they're listening, and they're looking for some advice. Because when it comes to self-preservation, maybe, just maybe, people are not that stupid. Let's begin in Florida on WFTL. Charles, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I was in Barnes & Noble. I had to climb over a wall of Leon Panetta's books to get into the store. And then there was a circular table, and it said 20 to 30% off, and it's new books. So I'm looking around at the back of the table, away from the store, the door where you really can't see them, was a stack of maybe six or seven of your books. I asked the guy, are they 20% off or 30% off? And he scans it and says, no, they're not off. There's no discount. But since it's on the table and I made the mistake, I'm going to give you 20% off.
So, well, first of all, he's wrong. There is a discount. Secondly, the book has been supposed to be in the front of the store. I know the whole system. The publisher has yet paid for front of store placement for the first few days. It's a violation of their agreement. And this is why I'm asking my soldiers of the Savage Nation to go out there and report any such incidents, because we are being sabotaged across the country by the people with rings on their souls. I don't care if they have rings on their born slaves. And what they want to do is suppress and bury the truth. If there was a book called Johnny Has Three Mommies, I guarantee you they would put it on the front table, even if it was not a bestseller. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back as the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Consider this a top national security priority. This is not just a matter of charity, although obviously the humanitarian toll in countries that are affected in West Africa are extraordinarily significant. This is an issue about our safety. It is also
he's
an
got
issue
that right. This is about our safety. And he's already left the disease through the bond door. All right, let's stop right there. Again, I'll repeat my main point of today. There's going to be several main points in the Savage Nation. African dictators in the nations surrounding Ebola racked nations do not permit individuals from those nations to enter their country. In other words, African dictators have more common sense than the man from Chicago. Chicago is a progressive heaven, you know that. And what they say on WLS in Chicago, and I'm going to read to you because I was interviewed by them yesterday, WLS AM 890, one of the great stations. Actually, it's one of the most interesting institutions in Chicago with a long history. And WLS in Chicago is the only major radio source of conservative talk and news in Chicago. And they say that what we consider government in Chicago is riddled with corruption, bribes, and payoffs, which are a way of life. And political favors make or break Windy City wealth. During the heyday of Mayor Richard Daley, the system of payola was accepted by all. The streets were safe and clean. The only crime was on the south side. The garbage was picked up weekly, and Chicago was the city that worked. They all know big trouble is coming because crushing debt hangs over the people's heads like a sword of Damocles. And he says, as long as there are no visible signs and our feckless media continue to pretend that all is well, Windy City residents soldier on but know better. Though we are considered the crime capital of the nation and our murders make headlines, they are mostly minority neighborhoods, so no one cares that much. The same could be said about Dianne Feinstein's backyard, San Francisco, another progressive nightmare, riddled with corruption, bribes, and payoffs, shootings every day, bums on the street, no hygiene, a cesspool that we're all swimming in every day. And then we go on, and they talk about both Obamas making visits to Chicago to raise millions of dollars for the upcoming election. And it said, Savage began with a warning about Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. Microbes do not discriminate, he said. And he asked, what sane nation on earth would bring in infected people? And he said, in a shocker, Savage stated that 4 years ago, Obama scrapped the regulation that would have quarantined infected individuals from the U.S. Why did Obama do that 4 years ago? Why, Savage says, because of their insane radical agenda that puts politics above safety. Savage continued, what do we do about our rogue radical fanatical government? And he talks about it. He then reminded cases of the mystery virus that is being brought in from Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador, currently called ED68. And when doctors are asked about this and our children are infected in all 50 states, these bought and sold doctors say nothing. Why are the doctors silent in the face of this great danger? Why? Because we've now become the Soviet Union of the 1950s. They are silent because of the Obama mini dictatorship. The Obama minions control the NIH. The NIH controls the grants. And so, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, anything is possible. Anything is possible, and there's much more to be said about what's coming, and I will talk about that and what you can do to stop it. And you are my savage soldiers. There are millions upon millions of you out there, and I know you listen to the show every day and you enjoy it. Sometimes you think I'm a little too intense. That's how I was born. That's how I was made. But intensity is not a crime. Being blasé is a crime, in my opinion, at a time when your country is being snatched from your hands. I wouldn't say intensity is a crime. I would say that playing golf is a crime when the world is being taken from you. I would say paying attention to anything but politics is a crime. So you say, well, what the heck can I do about it? Well, here's what you can do about it. I despise the Republican Party. There's an old saying, any country club that would have me as a member, I wouldn't join. That's an old Groucho Marx joke. I generally don't get along with Republicans. I generally, if I hang around with people at all, and they're nice to hang around with, they're usually Democrats. They're old hippies, and many of them are a lot of fun to be around. It's just that they're clueless and fools when it comes to what's going on around them. But the Republicans are our only hope in November. We have 30 days to save America. That's what I say in Stop the Coming Civil War. If you can convert one independent to vote Republican, then we take the Senate. We throw out Harry Reid. He has no longer any power. Nancy Pelosi goes back to working on her ravioli. Barbara Boxer goes back to running the brassiere stores. Dianne Feinstein manages the shopping carts instead of managing our... Can you imagine Dianne Feinstein as the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee? Had nothing to say about Ebola coming across the border. Feinstein had nothing to say about ED-68 coming in from Honduras. Can you imagine who's running this country? Yeah, well, it was a little better when we had a practicing Christian running America, George Bush. It was just a little bit better as far as I'm concerned. I slept better at night knowing that ISIS would not have proliferated like a cancer under Bush. He would have blasted them into smithereens. But right now we're watching everything come apart. Why, even Joe Biden said the world's coming apart at the seams. And he's the one who did it, and he makes believe he doesn't know how it happened, and now he's going to be the savior. I didn't know that Joe Biden was also discovered in a papyrus basket on a lake in Maryland. I'll be right back as the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So I am not dining at the Four Seasons. I'm not having a power lunch with top people in the media. I'm sitting before you on the microphone, gulping down a turkey sandwich, which I just reheated in the radio microwave, with a piece of provolone cheese. And as a result, my loyal dog Teddy is crawling up on my leg because he's addicted to provolone cheese. He must be the first Italian poodle in the world. I don't know how he got that taste, but hey, who's to account for a dog's taste? So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about a government that's not protecting its people. And I will make a prediction as I sit here that shortly Obama will close the borders to travelers from Western Africa. They've let thousands of travelers come here from West Africa, and they say, well, only one case of Ebola has been diagnosed. Oh, and that's the patient in Dallas. And he says our prayers are obviously with him and his family. Don't you love that our prayers are with him? It's the missionaries, by the way, who wind up killing us all. I know I'm supposed to be pro-religion, but at a certain point, religion becomes insane when it brings people back with Ebola for us to treat here. Missionary or non-missionary, I'm sorry. You went over there, then be like Father Damien and live with Hansen's disease over there. Don't bring it over here. Why do you think they created leper colonies during the heyday of Hansen's disease? Why do you think Molokai was considered a leper colony? Because the ancient Hawaiians were smart enough to know the missionaries would have killed them all had they not isolated the people with Hansen's disease or leprosy on that beautiful island of Molokai. You see, even primitive tribes people have survival intelligence, an IQ way beyond that of us in this country. But then when you see the white male in the shorts with the golf club or the tennis racket, you realize that the nation doesn't deserve to exist. I don't know who wrote it, but he said that once you take away a bold peasantry, I think it was in the 1700s, I do remember, it was Oliver Goldsmith. great English poet, a writer, and he said, once a bold peasantry is lost, the nation's vigor can never be reachieved, or something like that. And look at us now. Look at the sad sack that we become as a nation. I'll open this up to you now at 855-400-7282. Connie on WABC. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Connie?
Oh, hi, Michael. I wanted to order your book, and I went to Amazon, and I see it says temporarily out of stock.
How could they be out of stock before they even started to sell it? Amazon is in a fight with Hachette and didn't even list the book for the last month. Now they're listing it and they're out of stock? How is that possible?
I don't know. So I'm calling you, and I wanted to see if I could...
I don't know. I'll ask the publisher how Amazon could be out of stock. I guess they don't like conservative books. I don't have an answer, Connie. Hey, Connie, I got to tell you and everyone else listening to the show an interesting story. A person, friend of mine, went into the local Barnes & Noble, and he said, well, blah, 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 where's the book? He said, well, we had 20 copies, but a woman came in and bought 10 of them. So to that woman in Corte Madera, California, who bought 10 copies to give to her friends, thank you for being a loyal listener. That's exactly what we need to save the country. I can't help you, Connie. You can buy it on BarnesandNoble.com. I have no idea why it would be out of stock on Amazon. I have no idea. WABC again in New York City. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know that I started listening to you about 3 or 4 months ago when the other guy, when you took the other guy.
We don't have to put down the sad sack. He's an okay guy. So what's on your mind?
No, I'm saying, but yesterday you said you're Moses leading the people who want to be led through the wilderness. And I just want you to know that I'm going to follow you.
Yeah, well, there are Moseses in our generation. They exist everywhere. That young school teacher in that inner city school is a Moses. That soldier who no one hears about is a Moses. The doctor in the ER room who works 24-hour shifts is a Moses. The social worker may be a Moses. They're all over the place. There's a little bit of Moses in many people in America today. Unfortunately, Obama seems to glorify those welfare recipients, the illegal aliens and the cheats, rather than those who produce in this country. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I have a lot of vitriol. I'm sorry. I'm real sorry that I have too much vitriolic humors in my blood. I realized in the old days it was considered there were four humors. I think that's quite interesting. Four humors. Only four? I have four a minute. Never mind four humors. Jeff on WBAP in Dallas. You know, by the way, I once looked on my last book, which cities accounted for the largest number of sales of my previous books. It was New York City, San Francisco, San Jose, and Dallas. Would you believe it? Well, now let's go to Dallas, WBAP, Texas. Go ahead, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I went to Barnes & Noble in my area, and they had none. And they said they were all sold out before I got there. So I went to another Barnes & Noble, and they had none. They said they were all sold out. So I went to a third Barnes & Noble, and they had one, and they said there was no discount on it, so I paid full price for it.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't believe it, so I had to go to three of them and no discount, but I was happy to pay full price.
I would guess that the stores ordered too few, which is a very – look, the book business is a very, very difficult business. They can't predict with any certainty what's going to happen on Jeff in general, and either they order too many or too few. So they, you know, they ordered a case for each store, like 20 books, 24 books. They didn't have any idea how big the Savage Nation audience was nor how loyal it is. You understand? They don't know. And by the time the books come back, and I don't know when that might be next week, maybe the people will still remember the book. But thank you for reporting. And if you're a Savage listener and you want to report a bookstore story, maybe my publisher might be taking time out from their busy day to listen to the show and see what they can learn. WABC in New York. Kevin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, so today I was picking up your book in a liberal stronghold in New Jersey here. So I grabbed the book off the shelf and I held it close to my chest. And mind you, there was only about two or three of them at the front table, no sale. But I'm in line and I see a lady giving me the eye. And I'm a younger guy, she's an older woman, and I couldn't understand why. I realize I have one copy and she has the other two in her hand.
Now, wait a minute. This is getting interesting. Are you married?
I am a single man.
Uh-oh. Did you meet her and invite her out for a cup of tea?
We actually did talk after.
Oh! Another savage marriage right here on the Savage Nation.
She is married, but we were talking.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. We have to stop right there. This is a family show.
Well, she's a huge fan.
Hey, let me ask you, did she have big hair? Was she like a New Jersey type from the old days with big hair and a lot of jewelry around her neck?
You could tell she was a former 80s chick from Jersey, but the red hair has fallen over the years. But I was shocked because she was clenching the books close to her chest, too. And she was
hold it again. This is a family show. You're getting a little risque here, Kevin.
I'm that kind of guy, Dr. Savage.
Well, why did you carry the book close to your chest? I don't get it. To hide the cover?
Well, in the area of Jersey I was in, it's such a liberal stronghold. Like, you know, I didn't know somebody was going to stab me, throw acid on me for to stop the coming civil war, you know. I would be the cause of it. I'd be arrested in Jersey holding something like that where I was. So me and her...
Right. Now, why would so many people in New Jersey, who you would think would be conservatives or centrists, why are they so leftist? What's that about?
There's a feeling of overall... I think people feel guilty. Like they owe people something. I don't know if...
So are you telling me that white guilt, which elected Obama, is still prevalent in this country after 6 years of this character?
Unfortunately, yeah. I have a friend who told me the other day, who I'm no longer friends with, that this country won't be better because white men have less power.
And is he a white man? Is he himself a Caucasian man?
His father is Italian, was born here. His mother was a Peruvian immigrant who his father married for his second marriage. But he was raised, going to Catholic school.
I see. So he identifies with Peru and the government in Peru. He thinks that's a superior system. Why doesn't he go there?
I've asked him.
Why doesn't he enjoy some of the benefits of the Peruvian society?
There is not. I've asked him to move.
I mean, he can always go and study the Inca system. He would find that the Incan system was a far superior system to that of the evil white male. Or perhaps people from Guatemala can bring in their ancient systems, and they can start carving out hearts and throwing them down pyramids. After all, the Third World is just replete with examples of compassion and beauty and the elevation of the human spirit. Was it not for the white missionaries, people would still be eating each other on the planet.
You said it. That's right.
If it were not for the white Christian missionaries, the people would still be eating each other. It's that simple. We ought to thank the missionaries of the past, with the exception of some of the few criminals who stole the land from the Hawaiians. But we'll put that aside for the moment. Thank you for the report from the field out there. Headline on the Drudge Report, Ebola Europe outbreak unavoidable. Now, I looked at that story, and there we go again. How did Ebola get into Spain? It was missionaries. It was missionaries. Missionaries who went to do good and came back with the disease. Health officials in Spain today said four people, the nurse, her husband, and two others, are being monitored in the hospital in a bid to stem the spread of the virus. The virus. And then they went on to say it is quite unavoidable that such incidents will happen in the future because of the extensive travel both from Europe to the affected countries and the other way around. Now, of course, common sense would say we stop those travels. We do not travel to the Ebola-ridden nations. Of course, a travel ban would help stop Ebola. But take a guess why there will be no such travel ban. You can fill in the blanks. You can pretty much figure out what comes in on airplanes. And you pretty much know that the entire multicultural welfare structure would collapse without a constant inflow of illegal aliens. And one other point about you compassionate liberals. Do you think that Obama's bringing in these millions of illegal aliens because he loves them? Or do you think he's doing it for other reasons, such as making certain that the Democrats stay in power for 1,000 years so that he can give us 1,000 years of darkness? Or perhaps there are hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions, being made off the backs of diseased immigrants, as I proved yesterday, with a complete list of all of these wonderful groups like Baptist Family Services, Catholic Charities and others, who are getting hundreds of millions of dollars to ferry these people in to this nation. From Central America. And so, therefore, my friends, it's greed and the almighty dollar. Let us see what's now on the net. St. Louis, Missouri. David, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon there, Dr. Savage. And I would just like to first ask you, were you a milkman in Rockville Center in 1972? Because you're like a father figure to me. And
was I a milkman? You mean, I see what you mean. That's a funny joke. No, I've never been a milkman. And what city was that in?
In Rockville Center, Long Island.
No, I was never a milkman in Rockville Center. I am not your father. I will submit to a DNA test if you need. You're not getting any money from me, kid. You got to pay your way through college. I was a butcher boy though in Springlen, New York, at one phase of my life when I was 18. Did your mother work in the Catskills by any chance?
Yeah, she did, and was it around 1970, 71?
No, thank God, that was past my time. But I was a butcher boy who made personal deliveries to bungalow colonies and such. So thank God that your mother wasn't one of the bungalow attendees. But I then you might have had me there. But what else is on your mind, Peter?
Just an honor to listen to you every day. I've listened to you since I was up in New York, and just love having you on. And so about your new coming book, what was out today, it is perfect for Halloween. I'm going to put it on my coffee table. And
now I don't know whether you're giving me a jab or saying congratulations. Are you putting my book on a – what do you mean Halloween? You mean it's just a shock book? Is that it?
Well, it is a true story about Frankenstein, you know, Barack Obama, who's spreading microbes that don't discriminate.
Okay, all right, fine. You want to look at it that way. Yeah, they're coming to take you away. They're coming to take you away. I get it. Yeah, this might make a good pumpkin stuffer now that I think about it.
It is. It's great. I'm going to put it.
Maybe I can have the book shrunk down to the size of an M&M and give them out to children. And if they then put the M&M in water, it rehydrates and they could read the book and maybe understand the danger they're in. Thank you for the call. That was fun. The butcher boy part was even funnier. He said the book is coming out on the eve of the blood moon. We had the blood moon. Nothing really happened. I don't get this with blood moons. Why is that so rare? WFTL in Florida. Elizabeth, you're up. Oh, I can't do this now. We opened up one line at 855-400-7282. If you are afraid about what Obama and the Democrat socialist Islamist machine is doing to America, and if you'd like to know if there's anything you could do to derail the agenda and save America in the nick of time, please stay tuned. I'd like to talk with you at 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
We're constantly reviewing and evaluating the measures that we already have in place to see if there are additional improvements. We continue to look at any additional steps that can be taken to make sure that the American people are safe, which is our highest priority.
If you like your Ebola, you can keep your Ebola. If you like your mystery virus, you can keep your mystery virus. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Do you believe that the Obama administration is doing the right thing to protect you from the Ebola virus? Or shall I put it another way? Should there be a travel ban in place to make certain that we reduce the risk to near zero? Of course, common sense would dictate that, but we don't have common sense ruling America. We have special interests ruling America. And in order to make certain that the sugar keeps flowing from the taxpayer to those who are mutating and permeating and mutating, and I say permeating every aspect of society and mutating to the greedy disease that they have become, you will understand that there's almost no chance to do anything that makes sense. What would you like to say right now? Because it's your show as well. WABC, BJ, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
He runs this country like an absentee landlord. The pipes are overflowing. The grass needs cutting. There's no paint job. There's noisy neighbors. The taxes need paying. In debt up to our eyeballs. And off we go. Now we have Ebola to deal with.
It used to be like Section 8 housing. They would put people who, as you well know, would destroy the neighborhood into such places. They couldn't take care of themselves in their slums, and then they put them in middle-class free condominiums. And what they did was ruin the condominiums, and the whole neighborhood went down. So now we've gone from the neighborhood Section 8 mentality, introduced under the Clinton administration during the Department of Housing and Urban Destruction, and now we have a nation being permeated by the same mentality. I agree with you. But it's not an absentee landlord. It's a slumlord. Obama is running a nation like a slumlord, not like an absentee landlord. He's not doing it as a result of not being there. He's doing it as a result of wanting to cash in on the immigrants and the others he is bringing in with diseases and third world hygienic mentalities. They don't even know how to use toilet paper. If you think I'm making that up, check out what went on in the holding pens on the border.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I know that the American people are concerned about the possibility of an Ebola outbreak, and Ebola is a very serious disease. The ability of people who are infected to carry that across borders is something that we have to take extremely seriously. At the same time, it is important for Americans to know the facts, and that is that because of the measures that we've put in place, as well as our world-class health system,
if you like,
and the nature of the Ebola virus itself.
Nation, round number two. Thank you, Mr. President. If you look at a map of Africa and you see where the disease is focused right now, Liberia is one country. There are others where poor people are dying like flies from Ebola. And that's something for us to think about and send aid and such for them to take care of themselves. But the surrounding African nations do not permit people from the infected nations to enter their nation, which means that third world dictators have more common sense than Barack Obama and the head of the CDC, the head of the NIH, Harvard School of Public Health, Berkeley School of Public Health. Put them all together, and what you have is a mishmash of recipients of grants, and they will say anything that the government wants them to say to make sure that the sugar keeps flowing. Yes, I'm worried, and you should be worried too. Of course, you can dismiss it and say it's just right-wing hype and there's nothing to worry about, and you can continue to put your head in the sand. No one is going to tell you otherwise, because you wouldn't listen anyway. Your mind is made up. After all, liberals know everything, don't they? And so instead of talking about what is impossible to talk about, which is common sense, I want to go to the callers at 855-407-282 and talk about the launch of the most important book of our time called Stop the Coming Civil War. I really don't care who poo-poos it. But according to Michael Savage, our nation is at the end of the road, and the seeds of a second conflagration have been sown by the Barack Obama minions. Remember what Obama said when he came to power. He wanted to transform America. Can anyone listening to this show, I don't care what your politics are, anyone listening to this show, tell me that in the last 6 years, the education level in our schools is higher than it was when he took power? Well, you can't, because it isn't. Because the schools have been melted down. There's been a war on our schools by Arne Duncan, the head of the NEA, the head of the education department. Arne Duncan has spent more time trying to inculcate propaganda rather than teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is why we've fallen to a lower level than ever. How about the war on civil rights or the war on science? Can anyone listening to this show tell me that there has not been a war on the U.S. military? Well, anyone in the military will tell you there has been a war in the U.S. military. But not by Russia, not by China, but the war in the U.S. military has come from Leon Panetta, which I think is ironic and funny. The man who decimated the military is now putting out a book saying he tried to warn Obama not to decimate the military. They have it both ways, don't they? My prediction is Panetta's book will die while mine will live, because Panetta was a clown when he was the head of the Defense Department. He was a bigger clown when he was the head of the CIA, and now he's a bigger clown trying to pose as an independent author. There's been a real war on the U.S. military. And let me start by giving you a quick history lesson. In early September of 1901, then-Vice President Theodore Roosevelt stood on the stage at the Minnesota State Fair and quoted an old proverb that would be from that moment on and forever his. Just 2 weeks later, he'd begin his tenure as one of our strongest presidents. And although an assassin's bullet, which ripped through President William McKinley's stomach, put Roosevelt in the Oval Office, the phrase he spoke to the Minnesota fairgoers is the foundation on which his presidential legend began. And he said this. He said, "Speak softly, but carry a big stick." I tell you this for one reason, so you can make a comparison with what we have in the White House today. I don't think anybody since Teddy Roosevelt has put together a sentence that better captures how the president of the United States should act, and it's this. Because under Obama, it's speak loudly and carry a limp stick. What has been happening to veterans in our VA hospitals is a telltale sign of this administration's attitude toward the military. I will not go into the VA scandal here. It's in Chapter 4 of the book. But I will talk about all of the generals and all of the majors and all of the captains that have been dismissed by Stalin Obama. In Stalin's time, the military was decimated by firing squad. In our time, it is decimated by a threat of killing their pensions. My friends, this military is weaker than it's been in our lifetime. It's weaker than it's ever been. And I'll give you one further example. Not only the generals who've been purged, the majors and others, but weapon systems. Obama killed the Warthog about 4 or 5 months ago. Many of you don't know what a Warthog is. You assume we're talking about pork barrel spenders, but we're not. The Warthog is an American military airplane that's known as a tank killer. It's a descendant of a great World War II fighter jet, which was used extensively in Korea and Vietnam, and then upgraded and was used in the Iraq campaign to knock out Saddam's tanks. Now, why the hell would Obama and Panetta and this other clown, Hagel the Bagel, have destroyed, or rather killed, the Warthog? I couldn't understand why. Shortly after they destroyed the tank-killing airplane, the Warthog, Russia moved 1,000 tanks to the border of Ukraine. And shortly thereafter, ISIS was permitted to capture our Abrams tanks from the cowardly Iraqi army that left them in the field. Have you seen one Abrams tank blown up by any of our F-18 Hornets? I know that the Hornets are performing here this weekend in San Francisco as part of the Blue Angels, and I love that show. I like to go out on my balcony up in San Francisco and watch them fly. It looks to be like 50 feet off my balcony. There's nothing like hearing them whistle by. I mean, it's stirring. They're the greatest. Fighter pilots are a combination of electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, ballet dancers, black belt judo experts, and then throw a few more expertise levels in there, and you'll find out what a fighter pilot is. So I love watching the Blue Angels. I only wish the Blue Angels were over there blowing up the Abrams tank stolen by ISIS. You know why? Because as I point out in Stop the Coming Civil War, this ISIS game is just a game. It's a charade. The reason we're not blowing up the tanks they stole is because they were allowed to steal the tanks because they're going to be used to knock out Assad and bring down Assad's regime in Syria and open that country up to a slaughter of Christians and Alawites that the world has never, ever seen. And if you think I'm making this up because I want to excite you, you're wrong. I will go back to Libya for a moment. Gaddafi was weakened by our air campaign. And then the tribes who were opposing him, which was Al-Qaeda, overthrew him. He was captured. And he said, don't kill me because if you kill me in Libya, tribes will take over Libya and you'll have a lawless government as you have in Somalia. Well, of course, Hillary listened to that. And she said, we came, we saw, he died. Hillary and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse had a big laugh after Gaddafi was assassinated. And look what we have in Libya now that they overthrew Gaddafi, the dictator. We have warlords. We have tribes running Libya. We have a lawless Somalia emerging in Libya. Same thing almost happened in Egypt. And if the same thing is allowed to happen in Syria with the overthrow of the evil dictator Assad, you will see a slaughter of Christians like you've never seen in your life. And what are you going to do then? You're going to say, I didn't warn you? You're going to say people didn't know it was happening? Just as you say, where did Ebola come from? How did it suddenly emerge? See, as I speak with you right now, churches are being burned in the Middle East. Have you seen that recently on any of your news outlets? No. Churches are being burned. Christians are being killed. How come you don't hear anything about it? Why is it we heard about the Holocaust? We heard about the Holocaust long after the Holocaust occurred, as we should. Well, the Holocaust is occurring right now against Christians, and there's not a word being said about it in American synagogues, so far as I know. I said it last Friday night in a synagogue. I was invited to speak at a Yom Kippur service amongst a very Orthodox group, and they asked me to say a few words. They didn't think I would bring politics into it. And I said something I thought was a little interesting for a very religious Jewish group. And there were hundreds of people, men and women, men separated from the women, women from the men. I talked about they have to learn how to use a weapon. I told them they have to learn how to protect themselves. I told them they have to learn how to protect themselves and not look to others to protect them. Because the Jewish people are like sheep in this country. They think somebody is going to protect them. What they need to understand is that ancient martial artists in China learned the art of martial arts from the monks. The monks in the monasteries of ancient China were peace-loving people who wanted to practice Buddhism. They wanted to be left alone. Well, there were bandits, and there were tribes of bandits, and they didn't leave the monks alone. They beat them up. They burnt down their monasteries. They stole their treasures until the monks learned how to defend themselves with rakes and hoes and benches, and they developed this ancient, the ancient warrior arts called the martial arts. And it was developed by the monks. They were peace-loving people, but they had to learn how to defend themselves. The Israelis learned that. The Israelis know that they have to walk with a Bible in one hand and an Uzi in the other. That's why they're still a nation of Israel. The only people who haven't learned that are the American Jewish people. They still think someone's going to protect them. But what they don't understand, with Hussein Obama in the White House, Israel has become persona non grata. How they could not understand this is incomprehensible to me. And so I said to that synagogue audience Friday night in my concluding remarks that this country was much safer from a national security level when we had practicing Christians in the White House. And I felt a silence come over the audience. They didn't quite understand what I was saying to them. So I said it again. I said when we had practicing believing Christians in the White House, I slept safer at night. I don't think ISIS would have arisen under George Bush. I think George Bush would have crushed them like the lice that they are. But right now, as I speak with you tonight on the radio across America and perhaps the world, this band of Nazi Islamist evildoers is about to take over a major city on the border of Syria, a city being protected and defended, rather, by the poor Kurds. If they take that city, they will kill the men in front of their women. They will rape the women in front of their children. They will convert them to Islam because, as you well know, they are the practitioners of the religion of peace. And that's how they practice their religion of pieces. And that's what's going on right in front of your eyes. Incidentally, late news for you, the Dow is down 273 points. I wonder if it's related to the introduction of Ebola to America. I wonder if it's related to anything that we see in the news. I'll be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So Obama is lying to you about the Ebola dangers. As sure as I'm sitting here, some of our troops are going to come home infected with Ebola. They lied to us when they put these poor men and women in harm's way, saying they were only going to these infected nations to build shelters and housing and tents. We now learn, by the way, the story's been dropped. You can't find it from Bloomberg anymore. They took it down. It was linked on the Drudge Report. The headline was quite clear, and it was up earlier. American troops in Liberia will come in direct contact with infected. That story has been dropped by the government media complex. Do you realize that we have now descended to the level of Russia in the 1950s? Do you realize that you don't hear one public health official even sending out a caution about the Ebola virus coming in from these countries or about the paralytic virus coming in from Central America? Do you have any idea that this is equivalent to the Lysenko affair in Russia in the 1950s? Do you know what it means when a government controls not only the press but science itself? It means both the press and science dies, which is exactly what's happening in America right now. Mitch on WJR, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yep, it's Rick at WJR, and I want to thank you for blowing the horn out there. But I thought I'd give you a quick book report on walking into Barnes & Noble's in Brighton, Michigan.
What happened?
I walked in there and went up to the round table. No books. No Michael Savage anywhere. And there was another guy standing there, and I says, hey, are you looking for the same thing I am? And he goes, go tell me, Michael Savage? I go, yeah. So we went up to the front, and we talked to the front lady, and we says, where's Michael Savage? And she said, well, he's sold out. And I said, sold out? It's only 4 o'clock here. What's the deal? And she said, you're going to have to go to the back and find out when there'll be more coming in.
Okay, when did they say more are coming in?
Well, we went to that gentleman in the back, both of us, and we talked to him, and for some reason, he happened to be holding one copy of your book. So he says, this is the last copy. He says, we're all sold out, and this copy that I have was returned by somebody. So me and the other guy looked at each other, and he goes, well, I'll arm wrestle you for it.
Oh, that's funny.
I say, no thanks. I says, you can have it. I says, I probably agree with everything that's in the book anyway, but...
I'll tell you what, Rick, I'll send you a free copy. If you'll stay in the line, we'll take your address. I'm not going to do it again today because we're past giving out promotional copies. I need people to go out and send the message right now. And you are sending the message. Obviously, if we're getting reports across America that the book is sold out on day one, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing, isn't it? I mean, is that not a good thing, Neil? That's a good thing. It's just that the stores usually order, what, 20 books, and you figure in every market, more than 20 people must have ordered the book. I guarantee you that they probably stocked 10,000 copies of books that will not be sold. When Hillary's book came out, they probably had 5,000 copies in the basement, on the roof, in the outhouse, on trucks in waiting, and they had to send back 40,000 of those 50,000 copies. When it comes to my book, they say, well, let's be a little, you know, cautious here. Let's order only 20 of them. They don't think that there's more than 20 conservatives in Michigan who are going to buy the book. They don't think there's more than 20 conservatives in the neighborhood in New Jersey or Dallas or San Francisco. That gives you some idea of the uphill battle that we're all facing here. It's not just me, but it's you, and I thank you very much for doing so, but I can't control that. All I can do is my side. New Mexico, Jim, you're up on the Savage Nation. Tell us your story. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Walked in, asked the young lady at the front of the store where your book was, and she had absolutely no clue what I was talking about. He pointed me to the back guy, and so I walked back there, and he said, oh, he's got one right here. And they had four on a table marked new releases, nonfiction. Mm. And that's all they had was four, so I don't know what they had before, but that's not...
What was the number one? Well, I'll bet you they were showing a lot of Leon Panetta's book, huh?
They were directly as you walk in the front door, right there.
What's very interesting is Panetta decimated the military. He was the first hatchet man hired by Obama, and now he's coming along like a hero, telling us what he's going to do to save America. How much audacity does it take to work for this administration? It seems to me they want it both ways, but I want to thank you for that report. Anyone else who wants to give us a book report, which is a very nice idea, today, tomorrow, the next day, because I think tomorrow is going to be more interesting than today. Tomorrow, heads are going to roll in these bookstores for not having put the books up from the warehouse division in their own stores. When I come back, more right here on the Savage Nation, including, I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm sorry, I'm so excited. You'll have to forgive me. I feel like I was just reborn.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Savage Nation. Many of you are loyal listeners, and you know, you get me, you enjoy me, you've listened to my moods and my emotions, my ups, my downs, the dog, the food, the depression, the manic level, the jokes, the songs. It's a long, long haul. It's been a long road together, and many of you have come to know me, and you say, yeah, you're like a member of my mind, my family, the geography of my mind is not complete unless I listen to you. I don't agree with everything you say, but you're a part of my life and my day. And that's good. And then some of you actually know that underneath all of that, there is a tinge of the DNA of the prophet in me. You can take it or leave it. You can accept it or not accept it. But it's true that in some of us, there is a tinge of the DNA of prophecy. And certain things have happened in my life to indicate that maybe despite all of my so-called quirkiness, craziness, whatever, there might be some glimmer of something going back way beyond, you know, my birth date. As I am speaking with you, my notes and journals, my diaries from 1968 are being typed. And I happen to flip open a page. I mean, I didn't plan on this. I was going to talk about Stop Coming Civil War. And the page that I flipped open to, I swear to God, as God is my witness, is entitled Notes on the Revolution in America. I'm afraid to read it to you because I wrote it in 1968 when I was a young school teacher. And it was about the have-nots in America who will be trying out their hate-kill campaign on those whites most susceptible to attack, meaning the northern white liberal. And I said this, and I'm reading to you from my 1968 diaries. Tell me if you think it's somewhat prophetic. I said, if their campaign is successful against this element of white America, the muscular flexion will be will range throughout the country. I said, the Southerner is ready. He is ready. And I wrote more that I can't read you right now. And I said, the have-nots not being able to take from those who enslaved their ancestors originally will grab from the weakest of the whites or the most emotionally receptive to their pleas. And then they'll declare that that's their due share of America. And I wrote a little bit more, which I cannot read to you right now. They'll be published one day in my diaries. But I concluded this entry with this. My father struggled for his share of this life, as I too am struggling. He was an immigrant. His struggle was on a physical plane, mine on a more intellectual battleground. He sought to achieve in business what I seek in the world of the mind. I will not give to those men who claim that what is mine is theirs. And I went on and said a few other things that I can't read to you, but it went along these lines. We must fight to return what we have rightfully earned, lest we be robbed by the rich, power elite, and the poor alike. And I wrote a few other things about the power elite and the poor that I cannot read to you on these airwaves right now. But all I can tell you is that these ideas that you've been hearing on the radio didn't arrive when I started in radio in 1994. Apparently, they've been percolating in me throughout my entire life as I've lived my life, both as a first as a young welfare worker in New York City. I saw how those receiving welfare were robbing the system. I tried to report it to my supervisors who told me not to report it. I found that even though I was a college graduate, I lived more poorly than the welfare recipients were living. They were entitled to cash handouts from the New York City Department of Welfare at that time to buy furniture for their apartments. I was sleeping on a mattress on the floor, and instead of coffee tables, I had wooden crates and whatnot. I said to my supervisor, why are we giving them money to buy furniture? She said, why, Michael? Because every civilized person is entitled to furniture in their apartment. I said, but I can't afford it. And she didn't know what to say to me. And so I had to write a check out for two coffee tables, $150 each, one sofa, $350. Go down the list. Every room was furnished, and I saw how they were cheating us. My job was a welfare inspector. They were not supposed to have telephones in those days. Once I was inspecting a woman on the Upper West Side, which has now come back to its former glory, beautiful apartments over the Hudson River, loved them. I wanted to live there, but they were really poverty-stricken, and they were garbage and rats and drugs. You know, Panic in Needle Park was filmed up there at that time, back in the 60s. And the phone rang underneath the bed. She wasn't supposed to have a phone. And I said to her, ma'am, you should answer the phone. Your bed is ringing. I mean, okay, it was a joke. And I wrote a play about it, which was performed on the Lower East Side. I don't know what it was called, the welfare inspector, who knows what. I used to be a member of, you know, that intelligentsia that did such things. And that was part of my background. I tried in my own way to blow the whistle on the absurdities of our government, but I got nowhere. Well, now I'm getting somewhere. Every day I try to get somewhere with you. Every day I hope some of you understand what's at stake here. Now, a few years ago, you might have said this is just left, right, conservative, liberal. Who cares? I don't want to get involved in politics. But you know, things have changed now. Now you have the most evil force since Hitler raging across the Middle East, and many of their cousins live in this country because of the open door policy. Many of them listen to hate preachers in mosques, and we're supposed to say that they're preaching love in these mosques. We're not supposed to even ask what they're preaching in mosques when we know that many of these mosques are not preaching love thy neighbor, but convert thy neighbor. Common sense would dictate that a wise FBI or a wise NYPD would be monitoring some of these hate preachers. Well, they used to do it. They used to monitor some of these hate preachers under Bush, but not under Mr. Hussein Obama. That became a crime to monitor the mosques because, you see, to Barack Hussein Obama, all religions are equal, but some religions are more equal than others. The Dow is down 273 points. The sale of Stop the Coming Civil War is up 273 points. It's being reported that it's being sold out across America. I don't know how, but apparently you went out there and you cleaned out the bookstores. Let's go to WABC and Lori for another book report right here on the Savage Nation. Lori, what did you find today in the bookstores?
Love your show. I went up to the Barnes & Noble at my local town, and I expected to see Stop the Coming, Civil War as I walked in, but instead I see Hillary's book, I see Panetta's book. So I walked to the back of the store, and I checked the side shelves and such, and I went up asking the clerk behind the counter, and he walked me to the aisle, and on the very bottom of the shelf, there were four copies, and one of them I bought. And I can't wait.
Which Barnes & Noble store was this? Because they should be fired. Tell me the store.
In Nanuet, Rockland County.
Okay. Well, was it a Barnes & Noble?
Yes.
Okay. That was a violation of the agreement with the publisher. They bought upfront placement for the first few days. The clerk, who's probably a psychotic liberal, put the books on the floor in order to bury it. Well, that's something that we should report, isn't it, Lori? And I thank you very much for being a loyal savagette out there. And you know what I say? Give them hell. All of you, go out there and give these people hell. If they're hiding this important book, give them hell and tell them they have no right to bury such a book. That's what you're supposed to do. Take your country back one bookstore at a time. How's that? Take the country back one bookstore at a time. I like that. Believe me, when you start to control the press, you control the people's mind. Well, we lost the press a long time ago. When you now are controlling books in bookstores, will we next have book burnings? Will we hear that certain books are too dangerous for the average American to read and they should be confiscated and given to the local police station where they can be burned in a pyre? I can guarantee you 50% of the country would say, you know, that's a good idea. We agree that there should be Fahrenheit 457, whatever the number may be. Remember that movie, Fahrenheit? Who knows the movie, Fahrenheit 457? It is 457. My memory is still functioning. That used to be an area code that I had. 451, that's the temperature at which paper burns, isn't it? 451 degrees Fahrenheit. That was a great book. Fahrenheit 451, which was about a futuristic society in England where they were burning books that were considered to be dangerous for people to read. I could expect that in the near future in America. Well, thank God they're not burning them yet. Stop the Coming, Civil War, on sale now. His Savage Truth, Savage War and Civil War. If you've got something to report on anything related to this subject, or if you'd like me to help you with it, I'll be glad to do so. So let me go right to this. Neil, what I think we ought to do right now is go to the WLS interview and play it for a few minutes for a couple of reasons. I gave an interview on the great WLS in Chicago yesterday, and I want you to hear a few minutes of it to get the flavor of another perspective right now on the Savage Nation.
All right, listen, on the line with us is a man, let's put it this way, I have his book, and after I leave the WLS studios, I go to the Tribune to write my column, daily column. I will carry his book with me in my arms to watch my colleagues have their heads explode. It is it is Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth, by our guest, Michael Savage. Good morning, Dr. Savage.
Thank you very much. That's going to be very brave of you to carry that billboard.
I have to ask you about your book. I've read it. It's fascinating. I anticipate it's going to be a huge hit because it's very interesting.
Well, I hope it's timely because you know and I know what's going on. The problem is 50% of the country doesn't care, if that high. If 50% do care, I don't know. But look, if I can begin with one point, Ebola, 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 Ebola. That's something the average person listening to this show, I don't care what their race is, what their policies are. I've said it 100 times. Microbes do not discriminate. They don't care whether you're this color, that color, gay or straight. Doesn't matter. What sane nation on earth would bring in an infected individual when African nations themselves have put in travel bans from Liberia and other Ebola-infected nations? In other words, my friends, third world dictators in Africa have more common sense than Barack Obama.
Why do you think it is that the CDC director, Thomas Friedman, keeps coming out repeatedly and repeatedly saying, you know, hey, we can't, you know, just cut off travel, we can't cut off the borders, when we really can?
Of course we can. And as a matter of fact, I don't want to go back on my credentials. I have a doctorate in epidemiology from the University of California, which I'm very proud of. You don't have to have a doctorate in anything except common sense to understand that when a person's traveling with a killer illness, you keep them out of a nation where there is no such illness. Here's the shocker that almost nobody knows. I found it over the weekend. 4 years ago, quietly and without public notice, the Obama administration scrapped quarantine plans from the CDC, which could have blocked travelers with Ebola from entering the U.S. In other words, in the middle of the night, he eliminated the rule which would have permitted the CDC to quarantine airline passengers showing symptoms for up to 3 days. Now, why would Obama have done that? I have the answer. The ACLU lobbied to make certain that there was no such quarantine. Think about this. In other words, they put their agenda ahead of sanity, ahead of public safety, and now we have our first Ebola patient in a nation where there was no such Ebola. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what's being done either by idiocy or as a result of a radical left-wing agenda that makes no sense.
Some people don't know that our guest, Dr. Michael Savage, wrote a book called Immigrants and Epidemics a long time ago, several years ago. And I guess your interest in the politics and anthropology of epidemics and how governments respond to them date back many, many years.
I've always been fascinated by it. I worked in villages in the South Pacific in the 1960s and 70s as a young anthropologist, and I saw sanity that I don't see in my own country. Small villages in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, they have more sense than we do here. Well, okay, that's neither here nor there. The question is, what the heck do we do about a rogue government that either doesn't know what it's doing or does it despite knowing what it's doing, and it's not in the best interests of the American people? Every avenue of this government that's been touched by this radical, left-wing, fanatical administration has been damaged, whether it be the military, the schools, civil rights. Nothing has been advanced. Everything has been retarded. But I'm preaching to the choir here. You know and I know that when Mr. Obama took office, he said he was going to be a transformational president. What do you mean by transformational? What is he transforming us into? Think about this one. We're supposed to be a capitalist and greedy nation, according to the left, right? Yet half the population is subsidized. And yet half of the population that is subsidized, many of whom probably listen to this show, consider themselves victims. They think that they're victims, yet their representatives, like Obama, run the government. You hear this one? The poor keep getting poorer, and yet they like Obama. Figure that one out. There is no opposition party. We certainly, as you mentioned at the beginning, have no opposition press. So it falls upon the few of us, the voices in the wilderness, to say, wait a minute, we're not being led out of the Red Sea. We're being led into a deep well here. And somebody's got to say, stop where we're going. And again, I come back to disease, disease, disease. Not only Ebola, how about the ED68 virus that's being brought in by the children from Central America? You say, well, how do you know that, Savage?
How do you know that, Savage?
It's very well established that the ED68 virus that they're calling the mystery virus, which astonishes me, there's not one honest public health official in the United States of America. Because
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Mental disorder, multiculturalism is going to destroy the entire West. Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Michael Savage says there's 1 month left to save America. Why do I say a month? Because I timed the book to come out today, October 7th, which is about a month before the election. And I'll give you my plan in a nutshell. I know. What are we going to do if the tepid Republicans win and do nothing different? Well, here's my opinion. First, get rid of the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist machine. They're a closed shop. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that they can reach a Democrat politician and give them their opinion that differs from their doxy and agenda? The answer is, of course not. Are you telling me Pelosi or Feinstein or Boxer or Reid or any one of the other members of the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist machine would listen to you if you said close the borders? I want English only as the official language of the country. And for God's sakes, would you please support the cultural basis that built this nation? I'm sure Pelosi would receive that with open arms and open ears. Now, are the Republicans any different? Well, yeah, the answer is some are. And it's those some are that need the majority to give us more of what we need. They're our only hope. We have no other system. I wish we had a parliamentary system where there were six or seven parties. I really do. Then we'd have a real right-wing party, a real conservative party, a nationalist party. And then, of course, we'd have what we have now, which is a Democrat-Socialist bloc. Democrat-Socialist-Islamist bloc under Obama, which is what he is. He actually represents a splinter of the American public that's probably not more than 7 to 8% of the voting public. And yet he's ruling America as though he's the majority and represents the majority. I say throw out all the D's, replace him with the R's, and then we will lobby the cowards with the R's next to their name at town hall meetings from now until kingdom come. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to hour number three of The Savage Nation blasting out across America. Hey, if I told you I wasn't excited, I'd be lying to you, and I don't intend to start lying tonight on The Savage Nation. I'm very excited about what I see happening. The book is sold out in every bookstore. They're burying it in some stores. They're not burying it in others. I'm getting reports from all of the book reporters out there, including yourself, that wherever they go, there's one copy left. What does that tell you? It tells you that people are excited by the message and stop the... Now, what am I trying to do here? Well, let me back up for a minute and tell you what this feels emotionally. I started a career in radio last January. Yes, I've been in radio for 19 years, something like that. And I had been working the night shift here on the Cumulus stations for a year in order to get the day shift. And I was rewarded with the drive time slots on the East Coast, which is the beachfront real estate and radio. I'm also on the biggest stations in the country. So in many ways, I'm at the pinnacle of my radio career. I've never, ever dreamed of having more than I currently have. In fact, I hope for it, but I never thought I'd really have it. You know, a kid wants to be an astronaut or a famous football player or a baseball player. Well, I never had such dreams, but I, when I was older, wanted to be sort of an author that someone read. And when I went into broadcasting right at the beginning, I said, I just knew what I had. I knew what I was doing and I knew what I felt. In the first month of broadcasting, way back in the early days on KSFO, I remember saying to myself and a few intimates that I'm going to be one of the three left standing in radio when it's all over. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when, I don't know why. I said, I know what's happening in this business. And what's happening is syndicated, syndicated, syndicated. It's easier for a company to manage syndicated talent and put them on several hundred stations than to manage hundreds of individuals across the landscape. Well, some of that is true, some of it isn't true, but I am one of the three left standing here in radio. With any luck, I'll be one of the three left standing here for a little while longer. But as I stand here on the precipice of the remainder of my career and the witnessing of this bestseller and hoping to God that this book does change the course of our destiny, I feel like Samson standing there in the temple of the Philistines. If you remember that great movie way back when, there was the imagery of Samson. He had been blinded, he had been shackled, and he was standing there, and the Philistines were mocking him, and the midgets were released upon him with little forks and little daggers and nets, and they tortured Samson. But Samson kept pressing against the pillars of the Philistines' amphitheater. And the Philistines laughed at poor Samson. They said, look at the Jew. Look at the Jew that we've captured. He's pressing against the pillars as though he has the power to shake the foundations of the city. But we Philistines are all powerful. No one can shake us from the amphitheater. Look at the midgets tormenting and teasing Samson. He can't even fight a midget. How can he bring down the temple of the Philistines? Well, that's the image I have right now. And perhaps it's a little overly dramatic. Perhaps it isn't. But all I can say to you is, will you please help me bring down the temple of the Philistines? Because if we don't, we're finished. It's that simple. Now let's go to the book reporters out there in the Savage Nation. Phone number here, 855-407-2828. I'd especially like to hear from my stations that carry the third hour live. That would be for sure KSFO here in the San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland market. Even Marin County, I think, permits it to come over the bridge. I'm not quite sure if they let KSFO broadcast north of the Golden Gate Bridge. But I think that there are some Marinites who are allowed to broadcast here, allowed to listen to the station. Oh, by the way, speaking of the county in which I sometimes live, north of the Golden Gate Bridge, here's a little personal local story, and it's personal for some reasons. I couldn't believe this story, and I saw it this morning. Ross principal found with drugs, passed out woman, police say. So I read the story. It says Thomas Price, 54, was arrested at a Rancho Cordova hotel after deputies said they found him in a room there with an unresponsive woman and large quantities of heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine. Price is the principal of Branson High School in Ross, California. I said, what? Now, I don't know if you know what Branson is. It's a private school for the so-called rich. They're not all rich, but they pretend that they're rich. And I used to joke when I was a poor graduate student and a struggling author, when my kids went to ordinary schools like Redwood High School and the others, and some people we knew sent their kids to Branson, and they would sort of sneer at me and say, well, my kid goes to Branson. I said, really, you're lucky. I hear the drugs are cleaner there. Well, I guess I was right. The drugs are cleaner at Branson. I guess they come right from the top down. Now, why would the principal be caught in a motel room with heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine with a 21-year-old? Anyway, oh, it's a suburb east of Sacramento on Highway 50, Rancho Cordova. I must tell you, in all of my world travels, I have never gone through Rancho Cordova. And I doubt very much that I'll be traveling through Rancho Cordova ever again for the rest of my... Principal Price and Hall, the hooker, I mean the girl, were arrested on charges of possession of narcotics, possession of methamphetamine, and possession of drugs with intent to sell or distribute. Calls to Branson High School were not returned Monday. Principal Price was released the next day on $75,000 bail. Well, you know, he's the perfect man to replace Arne Duncan in the Department of Education when you think about it. What could be better, drugs, sex, and rock and roll instead of reading, writing, and arithmetic? Welcome to the Savage Nation. Let's get some calls out of KSFO and the other affiliates that I have. 1 month left to save America. Let's go to some of the callers I have holding WABC in New York. Linda, thanks for holding. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage. Barnes & Noble had it on the floor with other books on top of it. So I told
Wait. Barnes & Noble where had my book on the floor?
Barnes & Noble in Staten Island, New York.
And they buried it on the books on the floor?
Yes, it's on the floor with other types of books on top of it. So I took.
No, it's supposed to be under the new releases and on the front counter. So whoever the clerk is in that store in Staten Island should be fired. Tell me the store exactly where it is.
She said the manager didn't get to it yet. I said, well, Bloom's on top, so then I put the money.
Yeah, right. Didn't get to it yet, but they got, Jenny has three daughters. Jenny has three mothers. I guarantee you they had that at the top of the list.
Yep. Thank you.
Or Harry has three fathers. I guarantee you that's still up at the top of the list.
That's right.
Or Leon Panetta can cut the Defense Department yet again could be on the top of the list. So how could Staten Island, once a bastion of, I remember it to be, a bastion of the working class. A lot of Italian folks lived in Staten Island. Isn't that true?
That's right.
Well, what are they, all commies or what? What happened to Staten Island?
Well, I don't know what's going on with the culture department, with the culture in Barnes & Noble itself. But
But Staten Island used to be a conservative borough. I know everything's changed in America, but there are no conservatives left in your neighborhood?
Well, in my neighborhood, yes.
I don't want you to give away the street or whatever, but do you still have more or less a traditional American life like your mother grew up with in your town?
Yes.
You do. So you're close-knit. You all know each other?
Part of the island. The other part is like being in Brooklyn. It's total strangers.
Have the hipsters come over with the scraggly beards and the cigarettes yet?
No, we don't have that here.
They're going to be the next invaders. They're going to discover Staten Island like they invented it. Oh, look what you can get in Staten Island, man. And you can see the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. Yeah, apartments are cheaper in Staten Island like they discovered it. Don't you love all the people who complain they can't live in downtown San Francisco or downtown Dallas or downtown New York? They can't afford it because, let's say, the rich took it over. Isn't that why the suburbs were originally developed like 80 or 100 years ago because people couldn't afford to live in these cities? Isn't that why the Long Island and other railroads were built so they can take workers out of the cities to more affordable housing? Did they just discover that there's no guarantee in the U.S. Constitution for a, let's say, loft on the Lower East Side that is given to you by Barack Obama? Maybe that should be the next thing that we give Liberians with Ebola, is a guaranteed house in Queens and a guaranteed income. Because they're certainly getting a guaranteed medical care here. Why not give them a house as well and a car? You're going to get an Obama phone. Why not an Obama car? Net, on the net. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
I just had an interesting experience. I came from my local Barnes & Noble, which was is located. But what I wanted to tell you is that I had the most amazing and uplifting but heartbreaking experience in the store. It was a young woman in her late 20s with her daughter, who appeared to be about 4 or 5 years old, who had a copy of the book. And she was walking around, Mike, to anyone in the store who would listen to her talking about the book and trying to convince people to buy it.
Oh, that's amazing. So she was like a little a woman trying to say, look at this book, look at this book?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
She said, listen, and she referred to herself. She walked up to me, and I was in the process of buying the book, so she didn't know that I had it. And she referred to herself as a Savage Angel, so you know, the message reached her.
That's amazing. Well, I knew there were Savagettes out there. I know that I have 39 women to listen to the show across America. It might be 41 by now, but I never heard the phrase Savage Angel. She sounds genuinely like a woman who is almost to the point of breaking down from what's going on in her country. Anyone with a child who doesn't understand what's going on should really wake up before it's too late, because the children are basically, I don't know how to put it, but let us say they're not looking to a rosy future, are they?
No, and, you know, again, the look in her eyes, you know, we know about Eric Hoffer and the True Believer and all that, but perhaps we need more True believers on our side of the fence. And, you know, she had this.
Wow. Oh, so you read Eric Hoffer in the 50s. Remember The True Believer? I grew up on that in college. I don't think people remember him. He was a longshoreman, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah. He was a working class guy who wrote.
Eric Hoffer was a longshoreman who had common sense, and he wrote books that became part of the American parlance. I'm very much in his mold. People say that. You sound like a blue collar guy with a high education. But the fact of the matter is, I think like they do. I mean, it's just common sense is what it is. You don't need a degree to think clearly. I think more degree means less thinking sometimes. But I want to thank you for the report. By the way, you have a great voice. What business were you in? Were you in the entertainment business or law?
Well, if I tell you what business I'm in, I'll never work again. But let's just say that I've been a guest on your show before with one of your guest host who is now deceased. I was a close friend of his, and
I recognize your voice. It's almost as though you're a cousin who I can almost touch, but I can't purely place you. But I know you have a phenomenal voice, I can tell you that. And I don't want to endanger your livelihood, so I won't ask you any more. But I thank you very much for being such a loyal listener. And if you ever want to give up your day job, I'll consider you as a fill-in on the Savage Nation. Do you know what time it is? Do you have any idea what it is? It's 30 days left to save America. Would you please read the article on the top of the Drudge Report? Michael Savage says Civil War, 1 month left to save America. Let me know if you agree or disagree. It is now exactly 19 minutes after the hour across the world. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Just when you thought it couldn't get weirder and sicker and more demented, it has. Jesse I. Jackson, perhaps one of the most divisive people in American history, is in Dallas as I speak to address the Ebola scare. He claims it's racist to not want to be around people who may have been around those with Ebola. And so he's in attendance at a prayer vigil tonight at 5 p.m. outside the Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital. And Jesse I. Jackson is meeting with the patient's family. It'd be nice if Jesse Jackson had a degree in medicine or public health or epidemiology or knew the basis of epidemiology. Maybe he wouldn't be so interested in trying to capitalize on a killer disease. He might be interested in preventing the killer disease from spreading. But that would be like asking, what is that guy's name? The one who was once fat and who's now skinny in New York? The guy with the... Al Sharpton. That would be like asking Al Sharpton to not have a vicious, degenerate lawyer who made money suing the police ever since the 1960s as his best friend. And by the way, Al Sharpton's lawyer friend, the Mr. Moskowitz, I believe, I don't know his exact name, I can't remember it, Moskowitz and he have made a fortune suing the New York Police Department ever since the 60s. Well, old Moskowitz, I think that's his name, was investigated the other night because after old Al Sharpton's birthday party this week, a woman was said to have been raped in Moskowitz's apartment. At least they found bloody condoms in his apartment the next day, and she said she was raped. He said he had nothing to do with it. I guess when he can't do it to people in courts, he does it to real people in real life. But isn't that how these rackets operate? Isn't it wonderful Mr. Moskowitz has been associated with Al Sharpton ever since the 60s? I think his name is Moskowitz. Pardon me if I don't remember. I kind of regurgitated his name the minute I saw it. But it was in the New York Post the other day. Everyone dropped the story about the reverend's friend. Of course, we still don't know where the reverend received his divinity degree. We suspect he got it where he got his credibility from to begin with, which is the U.S. media. On the net, Benny from WFTL in Florida. Fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. What's your observations?
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I went into my local Barnes & Noble store and looking around for the new releases of your book. And like everybody else has said, I have not seen it and looked for it and wasn't there. And I went to the man behind the counter, and he's like,
Boy, he broke down. Okay, the Florida, it's the FTL, that's the land of the hanging chad. Phone service is interrupted regularly in Boca Raton because it's like a third world nation in some places. 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. Let's take the next caller. KBOI in Boise. Not noisy, Boise. Sandy, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Can you explain to me why Obama has more passion to send troops to Africa for the Ebola than sending them to Iraq to help Christians, or even he didn't even help Israel during their strife?
Well, because he has sympathy with, I guess, African nations and no sympathy with the Middle East. It's about a matter of just personal taste. He's not the president of America. He's the president of his own universe. See, he sees himself as a citizen of the world, not the president of the United States. Remember, we have 30 days to save America. Please read Stop the Coming Civil War.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
You know, this is a day that I don't want to end. I got to tell you the truth. I feel like I was reborn today. It's the culmination of my entire career, and I'm really hoping to God that the book shakes the country up and we bring down the amphitheater of the Philistines, as I said earlier, and that we reconstruct America in a better way and in a better way that helps all of us, not just a select few. This is the Savage Nation radio program. It's a special day. Mark it down, October 7th, 2014. It's about Ebola. It's about the ED68 virus that Obama brought in with his, with his kids by the trainload from Central America. And the sickening part is that the entire medical establishment is owned by him, and not one will step out and say what the obvious really is, which is that common sense would dictate you do not bring patients with Ebola to a nation where there is no Ebola. But more than that, you don't send 3,000 to 5,000 American troops, not only putting them in harm's way, but knowing that statistically several of them will contract Ebola and likely bring it back to America. Who in the world would let him do that? Who in the world of public health would advise him to do that? Who in the world of public health can look at themselves in the mirror and say, I'm still a man with integrity? The answer is nobody. And so a few of us have to speak out while we still can. It came out today. Look at the Drudge Report, right column, and see the link. American troops in Liberia will come in direct contact with infected. Remember that? Obama said none of them will come in contact with Ebola patients. Remember, he said they're only building facilities? Well, Bloomberg.com, few dozen U.S. troops to test lab samples for Ebola. A few dozen U.S. troops will have exposure to lab samples from potential Ebola patients by running testing facilities in Liberia. While most of the 4,000 troops sent to deploy to the West African country won't have direct exposure to the virus, three or four specially trained personnel will run each of as many as seven testing labs, Army General David Useless Rodriguez said today at a Pentagon news conference. General Useless Rodriguez said they are specifically trained to do that, said the Useless Rodriguez. He said it's a specialty element of the larger force. In a statement after the news conference, Useless General Rodriguez said he had erroneously indicated that the military personnel would have direct contact with potential Ebola patients. In fact, said Useless Rodriguez, lab personnel will test only samples. And now we're told that this testing labs are manned by highly skilled, blah, 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 and trained personnel, blah, blah, blah. Right, and that's why nurses and doctors are coming down with it, because they're all dumb. They're not as smart as the troops under General Rodriguez. How do you like that? How do you like that? Look what someone wrote. He said, I'd rather face live fire in the winter in Korea than be sent to wipe the noses of and serve soup to sick Liberians. Aren't there huge numbers? Well, I can't read the rest of it. It's a family program. What I don't understand is why they don't send Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Eric Holder there to lead a volunteer force to help those poor people in Liberia. Or we could send all of the Democrats from Congress. Or we could ask Nancy Pelosi why she stopped wiping the feet of the poor children refugees from Central America. Could it be that she discovered that they were carrying ED-68? Could be. Even she might understand that there's a danger to washing the feet of those infected with a dangerous virus. You never can tell. The phone number is 855-407-282. Let's go to some of the callers. Let's go to KSFO in San Francisco. Jan, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I just left Barnes & Noble in Gilroy, California. I went in to get a book for myself and a friend. The gentleman asked me my name because somebody had called in to save a copy. They had only one copy in that store. So when I walked through that door, all I saw was Leon Panetta's face.
Well, isn't it ironic that Leon Panetta, the man who destroyed the U.S. military, he was brought in as a hatchet man for Obama to cut troop levels, cut income for the troops, kill weapon systems, and now he's posing as a man who's criticized Obama? Now, of course, the government media complex wants that book to beat mine. You understand why, right?
Well, yes, and I'm wondering, is it possible that the government could be putting their thumbs down on your book somehow, that this bookstore is not bringing your book?
I think that the reverse is true. I think you only found one copy because the others sold out. I think what you're finding out is that it's actually a good thing that there's few books in the store. I think that they've been sold out. The test will be tomorrow on Wednesday and Thursday. Because if you go in there tomorrow and there's still no books, and Thursday and there's still no books, then I'll say something's wrong with that picture. But did you find a copy, Jan?
No, I did not. I asked for one for myself and one for my friend.
Let me ask you a question. I don't want to burden you and the listeners with this. Did they ask you to leave your name so they could notify you when the books are in? Did they take the order from you?
Yes, they did. Yep.
All right, so they're willing to do it because Amazon, who's playing with Hachette, has reported the book sold out, even though they were certainly not sold out. But Hachette's trying to drive the book. I'm sorry, pardon me. Amazon is trying to kill the book. I will tell you that right now. That I know for a fact. Amazon is trying to kill my book, so you may as well not go there. If you want to buy it online, go to BNN or some of the other sites. It's that simple. I want to thank you for supporting me in America by buying that book. It's that simple. WFTL in Florida. Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage, I just went and bought your book in Pensacola, Florida, at the Barnes & Noble on Airport. It was not near the front. I looked around the front. They had a bunch of discount books, 10% off, 20% off, but no new releases. So I went back to the kiosk. It was about 25, 30 feet within the store. I had to ask an associate. She walked me around behind the kiosk, so about 35 feet in the store, three copies of your book. I bought one. There's two left in the store.
Why did they bury it? It's a new release, and it's supposed to be up front, especially in Barnes & Noble when I've done so much for that company. I mean, I've given Barnes & Noble more publicity than they ever had in their whole life. Mr. Barnes, are you listening? You're not so noble, my friend. I want to thank you for supporting me in America, Jeff. Thanks for buying that book. It means a lot to me, and I hope it means a lot to America. And, you know, okay, They wrote the article, and they said 30 days remain to save America. That's how they posed it on Art Moore did for WorldNet Daily. You know the report we just got? I want you to listen to this. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. Art Moore, who interviewed me for WorldNet Daily, Neil, am I correct? He called you or emailed you or texted you? Art Moore has reported that as a result of the link to the Drudge Report, over 1 million hits. They've had over 1 million hits on the WorldNet Daily site as a result of the Drudge link under the title Civil War. 1 million hits. I want you to compare that with some of the other people out there, some of the books out there, and recognize that there are a lot more of people like you in this country than you may think. In fact, you are the majority. It's just that they've silenced you and anyone who supports your viewpoint. That's the position that I take. Otherwise, there'd be no buyers for my book. There'd be no listeners to my show. There'd be no listeners to Rush. There'd be no listeners to the others in talk radio who represent the last gasp of the United States of America as it should be and will be one day again. And I mean that again. I don't think it's over. I think we're going to save America. I have faith that God will save it, and I think those who have done this to us will one day be punished for what they're doing to this country. In that sense, maybe I'm a child. In that sense, maybe I'm a dreamer. But you know what? I'm entitled to have hope, and I'm entitled to dream. And I believe this country can still be saved from the Philistines. That's my absolute and total belief. WABC Rainer. Rainer, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a report about buying your book today. I went to the Barnes & Nobles over at Own Country Road in Call Place, and as soon as I walked into the store, they had it right there, right in front of me. They had about 12 of the books sitting behind it with a big, huge metal sign that said, New Releases, and your book was right there on this nice plastic stand.
Where was this? Where was this in New York?
This was in Call Place in New York, in Long Island.
Okay, Long Island. So maybe there's someone in there who's not a psycho leftist. I don't know. You know, it doesn't work for the Defense Department. Well, I want to thank you for being a loyal buyer. You know, a lot of people are doing it. They want to support me. That's what they come down to. They're not doing it. Some of them want to read the book. Most of them do. And they want to spread the message. They do. But you know what a lot of people are doing it for? They want to show some solidarity with me. I have a friend who went in and he said, I'm going to the bookstore to buy the book. I said, J.D., you don't have to buy the book. I'll give you one for free. He said, no, Mike. He said, I want to support you. It makes me feel good to put my money where my mouth is. In a way, I almost feel embarrassed, I mean, to see a friend buy a book. But then again, it reminds me of times different. The times were different in America when people really cared about each other and they supported each other. It's a small community in many ways. And the virtual community that I created here on the radio is really a community. It's maybe a virtual community, but it's real. I want to tell you that story for a minute because I told it to somebody else last week. When I first came to the San Francisco Bay Area, I fell into a psychological hole. It was the most cold-hearted place, soulless place I've ever been in my life. Beautiful architecture, great weather, but people that were like zombies in the Bay Area, soulless. I had come from a world where people were very much dynamic, alive, talk loud, yelling, screaming, emoting. In other words, I came from a Mediterranean background where people talked all the time, sometimes loudly, sometimes quietly, sometimes sad, sometimes happy. In the Bay Area, everybody was so cool, I thought I had arrived at a place of the living dead. And no matter where I went, there was no continuum. There was nothing coming back. You could tell a person a story, they look at you like with blank eyes, like, oh, who's that clown? What's he talking to me for? I don't really care. I'm Mr. Cool. I'm from Marin County. I ski. I surf. I have a BMW. What am I listening to you for? It was a dead place, a dead zone. And what happened was I felt myself sort of dying inside. And I survived here a long time based on my own small circle of friends and my own readings, my own whatever, my own meanderings. But at some point, I couldn't take it anymore, and I created the Savage Nation radio show. As sure as I'm standing here, 20 years ago, 1994, I created the name The Savage Nation. I created a virtual community for myself and like-minded citizens. And here we are 20 years later. I won't be here another 20 years, that's for sure. Many of you will be here another 20 years, that's for sure. But we're here right now, and that's what's really for sure. And since we're here right now, we may as well be here now. And since we're all being here now, we may as well do what we can to take the country back from the Philistines who are trying to destroy us from within. I'm Michael Savage. I stand for our borders, language, and culture. I'll be right back, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. Michael Savage, still live in this third hour on this historic day. And I want to read you a line from the World Net Daily article. Michael Savage has 1 month left to save America. New prophetic book warns nation ahead of midterms. And here's what Art wrote. He said, when Barack Obama introduced himself at the 2004 Democratic National Convention, declaring there was only one America, not a liberal America and a conservative America, and not a black America and white America, many instantly envisioned him as a future presidential candidate with a unique heritage and extraordinary rhetorical skills that would enable him to unite a nation divided over political ideology or race. But not long into his presidency, it became apparent to many, including some liberals, that Obama's leadership and policies had only exacerbated the divisions. Most attributed his failures to simple incompetence, but Michael Savage saw something much more sinister happening, and in his new book, Stop the Coming Civil War, he charges Obama is deliberately dividing the country. At the time Savage finished the manuscript several months ago, many continued to mock the provocative notion that any president would purposely damage the nation. But recent events, including the flood of Central American illegal aliens and the entry of the Ebola virus to the U.S., have made Stop the Coming Civil War, Savage's 30th book, seem prophetic. Meanwhile, an increasing number of bewildered Democrats are distancing themselves from Obama. In his concluding chapter, Savage bluntly states his book, published by Center Street Books, is about the conflict the current administration is pushing in the name of a broader worldwide liberal revolution. And I want to emphasize that. I'll talk about that more tomorrow. It's part of the broader worldwide liberal revolution. In other words, it's a new Soviet Union that is being formed to take over the whole world. And as I wrote this, as I see it, the forces of the left are attempting nothing less than a socialist takeover of the world economy and global politics. In an interview with WND, Savage said his publisher recently expressed some amazement that, quote, everything you said was going to happen or would happen is happening this minute. How could you have seen this? Well, there's more in the article. You can link it at WorldNet Daily or right on the top of Drudge. They've had over a million hits to that little connection, by the way. Now, in the few minutes that remain in this third hour of the show, I have a few things to say. Tomorrow is a very telling day in the bookstores. There will be no excuse if the book is not up front where it should be. I'd like you to be a book reporter for me and go into those stores armed with the courage to demand that Stop the Coming Civil War be placed in the front where the company paid to have it placed. Remember what I said. They bought front of store placement. Don't let some left-wing Philistine bury that book in the back under Johnny Has Three Fathers. Now, before this hour ends, I want to play a little bit more of the great interview on WLS in Chicago. It's really one of the best. Will you please play it? Robert, go ahead, please.
Some people don't know that our guest, Dr. Michael Savage, wrote a book called Immigrants and Epidemics a long time ago, several years ago. And I guess your interest in the politics and anthropology of epidemics and how governments respond to them date back many, many years.
I've always been fascinated by it. I worked in villages in the South Pacific in the 1960s and 70s as a young anthropologist. And I saw sanity that I don't see in my own country. Small villages in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, they have more sense than we do here. Well, okay, that's neither here nor there. The question is, what the heck do we do about a rogue government that either doesn't know what it's doing or does it despite knowing what it's doing, and it's not in the best interest of the American people? Every avenue of this government that's been touched by this radical, left-wing, fanatical administration has been damaged, whether it be the military, the schools, civil rights. Nothing has been advanced. Everything has been retarded. But I'm preaching to the choir here. You know and I know that when Mr. Obama took office, he said he was going to be a transformational president. What do you mean by transformational? What is he transforming us into? Think about this one. We're supposed to be a capitalist and greedy nation, of course.
Savage.
All right, we have about a minute left this hour. I have so much more I'd like to do. It's one of those great days in my life. It's the pinnacle of my existence this week and next. It can only go downhill from here. But I want you to ride the wave with me while I'm riding it, and I hope to be back tomorrow in good form. I'm getting up like a child with a new set of trains every day this week as the book is published. I can't wait to plug the train in and see you go choo-choo around the tracks. I hope you'll take the ride with me and see if we can convince some of your friends, neighbors, and family to stop checking D and start checking sanity. This is the Savage Nation. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a patron of the radio show and of my advertisers. And I want to thank those of you who've had the decency to go out and check the book out for doing so. Thank you very much. Good night, and God bless America.